Him up and sing holy, sing holy,
holy, holy, Father, you are holy. There is no one else like you. Faithful, faithful, Father, you are faithful. We have put our trust in you.
Praise the Lord. Why don't you lift your hand and begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Begin to say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a great God, amen. We serve a great God who is worthy to be praised. So why don't you take a minute and lift your hands to heaven, and you know that God is going to do something spectacular in your life. Let's just believe that God is here, and he's worthy of his praise. Let's declare it.
Water you turned into wine. You opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Oh, none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any.
That's right, he is.
Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, oh, into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
There's no one like you.
None like you.
Our God, hey.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger.
He's higher than any other.
Higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God.
Oh, I think we can sing that again. Let's declare it today.
That our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are.
that break. Oh, at your name, still call the sea to still, the rage in me to still every way. Oh, at your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, recall these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing once again. Oh, I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble.
Oh, sing it again. Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, silence all fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
oh,
my
Jesus,
oh, your silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
we call on your name. Darkness flees when we call on your name. Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny, your name cannot be overcome, your name is alive, forever.
Shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome.
listen to this.
At the cross your work was finished. You were buried in the ground, but the grave could not contain
you. Come on.
For you wear the victor's crown.
Hey! Come on, if you believe that today, mighty shout.
You overcome. Every high thing must go down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome.
Come on,
you overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victory.
Oh, I think we got one more.
You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome.
God, I want to encourage you today that a song is just a song unless it gets into your spirit. When they get into your spirit, it becomes something more. We understand that all of this worship is to prepare you to hear the word. We understand it's to prepare you to make a decision in your life, whether it be become a Christian or to lay down some things before the Lord, maybe come down to get a healing. We understand that what we've done over the past 18 minutes is lift up the name of Jesus. But if it's just singing a song, you're not getting anything out of it. Because what you're doing is you're saying to all the trouble and turmoil that's all around this world right now, you're saying, I don't believe that is stronger than you. Now, when we sing that, every high thing, every high place, everything of authority that would try to tear us down, they are coming down. It's biblical. A song that's not biblical is not worth singing. This is the biblical principle that everything that is bigger and stronger than you comes down because God is bigger and stronger than it. You can overcome. If I was honest, we were honest today, I'll lift up your hands and say, who's not overcoming? I bet you some people will put their hands up today. Why? Because they're just songs to us. They're just a song. It's just a fairy tale. It's just a caveat. I believe God's good, but I got this going on. I'm here to tell you today that if you believe and not doubt, anything is possible. The Lord is the strength of my life. I have nothing to fear. And so when we make a decision to take that step of faith and declare these things over our life, over our children, over our church, our city, our state, and our country, things begin to change so long as we don't get bogged down with the doubts and fears of this world. That's why we need to declare it. That every high thing must come down and every stronghold shall be broken. You see, he's the one in charge, and he's the one who's won already. Come on, every high thing.
Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. you are.
Every high thing,
every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome.
You just one more time, shout.
Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You overcome.
Praise God. Every hand lifted in this place, whether you're living in complete victory, which I know some of you are, or some of you today are just still grasping for that victory in your life, I want you to raise your hand, because we're going to live and we're going to declare and we're going to believe like God's already got it won for us, because He already has. Lord, we thank You for the victor's crown. We thank You that it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to You. And we belong to You, so therefore we have victory today. You have made us more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. You haven't made us to just sneak into heaven, Lord, on our hands and knees, barely making it. You've called us to stroll in there with our head held high, bringing hundreds and thousands of people with us, because You called us to change the world. And I pray in the name of Jesus that this day we would learn what it means to take steps of faith. To take steps of faith, places that we may never have gone, declaring things maybe we never believed before. But I pray that it will be different. It'll be different this day. It'll be different this time. That these will be the greatest last days of the month, last days that we could ever have, Father. We know You're coming back soon. And I pray, God, You'll come back to a church that's on fire and ready for what You're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody give Him a mighty hand clap of praise today. Praise God. You can give somebody a high five. Have a seat. Praise the Lord. I had to stop talking there for a little bit because I'm preaching tonight and I almost gave it all away. I don't want to do that. I don't want to come back like, oh, I heard this before. I'm out. We don't want that to happen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you excited to be here? That is so great. Is that Stacy Guerin down there? Why don't you stand up, Stacy? Everybody say, hey, Stacy. Most of us have probably seen the SUV with the canoe, Stacy Guerin, Maine Senate. She's running. She's done a great job. You represent Kenduskeag and Corinth and this whole area, or where exactly do you? Southern Penobscot County? That's a lot easier than saying all 15 towns. Southern Penobscot County, if she's on the ticket for you, make sure you prayerfully consider her. She does a great job for this state. So give it up for Congress, I don't even know. I'm just whatever. Something. Representative Stacy Guerin. I would say I'm Canadian, so don't pay attention to me, but I've almost been in the United States as long as I've been in Canada, so I'm kind of like a mixed breed at the moment. I apologize for that. Let's get back to being professional. I want to thank everybody for coming. I'm not checking my Facebook or anything, in case you're wondering. I'm making sure I tell you the right stuff. But if you are a visitor here today, this is a fun place to be. You get to experience the presence of the Lord, make fun of the guy with the microphone, and then you get to hear a great message from the Lord. So if you're a visitor here, we're so thankful that you've come. We would love for you to fill out a connection card. It's right there in front of you. We just want to get in touch with you, see if we can pray for you for anything, and get you connected to this church, because we believe this is where you belong. So, church, can you make our visitors know they're very welcome here today? Today is November 4th. That's the wrong button. Man, I am just doing awesome. I am doing great. This is wonderful. We got a lot of great things. The first thing I want to point out, though, is you guys. We have a church that is unbelievably generous. Do you know how I know? Look at the coats on this platform. Isn't that amazing? And guess what? Every single one of these coats is brand new. Brand new. So there are children in our community that couldn't afford, their parents couldn't afford a coat. And you know, we don't want them to think that they don't matter as much. And so what happens is, because they matter just as much as anybody else, they're going to get a brand new coat in their home that they never expected, and they're going to be able to rip this tag off, which is a wonderful feeling when you're young. A brand new coat. And the reason these children have them, hundreds of coats here, is because you saw the need and you filled the need by the power of the Lord. I believe that the anointing of the Lord, yeah, give it up for it. Come on, that's a good thing. And in the coming weeks, we'll be delivering these coats to the schools, and the schools will be giving them to kids from the Charleston Church. I believe the anointing. In fact, why don't you stand to your feet today? Stretch your hands towards these coats. I believe the anointing of the Lord is on these coats. I believe these coats don't only represent a warm body, but they represent a soul in the kingdom of God. And I believe we can see them saved through this. So come on, begin to pray over these coats where you're at. Begin to pray that these gloves and mittens will warm the hands and get to the hearts of these children, that we'll see a revival. Father, I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for the generosity of this church. I thank you that all these coats are here. But in the name of Jesus, I pray your hand of power go with them. That, Father, it won't just be a warm piece of clothing, but there will be an anointing attached to these. And, Lord, it will draw families upon families to say, I'm overwhelmed by the generosity of God, that they would give us brand new coats and they would come to this church and find that the goodness of God doesn't end with a coat, but, God, it ends on the streets of gold in a place called heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to go with these clothes. You're going to go with these hats. You're going to go with these gloves and these boots, and you're going to bring hope to a generation that doesn't have any. And I thank you that we can be a part of it. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give yourselves a hand for doing that today. You can have a seat. I like to flow and just do whatever. This coming Wednesday, get right to it. This coming Wednesday, we have something called First Wednesday. How many have ever been to a First Wednesday service? A lot of us have. I encourage everyone to come on out at 7 o'clock right here. It's such a great experience. One of my favorite sermons I've ever heard in the 13 years I've been here was at a First Wednesday service about the year of Jubilee. Unbelievable. Pastor is just, he's himself. So you just don't want to miss it, because it's even better on Wednesday night, if that's even possible. Also on November 11th, right after church, which is Veterans Day, we want to take time to honor all the veterans and all of those who are serving right now in the military, because how many know that our military is the greatest military and we wouldn't be where we are without them? Amen? Amen? So after service on November 11th, right at 12:30, we're going to be having a veterans luncheon where we will be serving lunch to veterans and their spouses, and also those who are serving right now and their spouses as well. If you haven't signed up and you are a veteran, we'd love for you to sign up out back. Also, we have a special brass band that's going to be playing during the lunch, from Dexter playing some patriotic songs, maybe Smoke on the Water. I don't know. We'll see. But it'll be fun. I'm just kidding. Probably not. Although that would be kind of cool in brass. That was not on my notes. That wasn't on my notes. I got to stay there. November is an exceptional month. We have Thanksgiving, which is the best holiday. You sit down, you eat for 4 hours, and you sleep for 4 hours. There's nothing like it. But right after Thanksgiving on November 25th, we have Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth going to be preaching morning and night. And I tell you what, those are the best services to come to. He is unbelievable. And at the end of service, the ushers will be handing out these Lost Lamb Covenant forms for you. To pick up, so you can begin to pray for the people in your life that don't know the Lord. And you can invite them to that service, and you know wherever Tiff Shuttlesworth is, there's a chance for a lost person to come saved, because that's his heart, that's his vision, that's his mission. He says, by the grace of God, to see 1 million souls saved, and he's well on his way. He's going to beat that record in these last days. But I want you to come prepared, prayed up, bring somebody, and experience the Lord in a great way on November 25th. Amen? Isn't that awesome? We have a really cool thing happening, and I want everybody to grab, in the seats in front of you, I want you to grab this card. It says Project 19. Just go ahead and grab it right now. This blue, beautiful card that some wonderful staff member made. That's right, it was me. It was me. It was me. I mean, whatever, it was me. Project 19. I want to show you, well, you've seen it before, but I want to just kind of show you again what Project 19 is all about. So if you could roll that video for me, and then we'll talk after.
Jesus Christ promised that he would build his church. He also promised that no power in hell will ever be able to stop it. When we are bringing hope to the hopeless, when we're bringing help to the poor, when we're training leaders for ministry, we are building His church. In 2019, we're going to continue our momentum of reaching locally and globally through our Project 19. Over 16% of Maine homes are struggling with hunger. Well, we want to do something about that. Safe Place Food Pantry this year will give out over 550 tons of food. We'll be able to minister to over 700 families in 2019. Plus, 70 children will go home with a backpack full of food each weekend during the school year. Fusion is our television outreach ministry. Every day through WABI, CW, KISS 94, and Facebook, we are connecting with over 12,000 homes right here in the state of Maine. In 2019, we're going to partner with Tiff Shuttlesworth. He's going to go to Alaska and minister to people who have never heard the gospel before. He'll travel to some of the most remote regions to bring the hope of Christ. In 2019, we're going to partner with Nate Pimentel as he goes to Chennai, India. There he'll hold an outdoor crusade in a city of over 10 million people. Faith Bible College International is becoming one of North America's premier Pentecostal Bible colleges. Students are coming from all over the world being trained for ministry. We want to make sure that we can add to the scholarship fund so that everyone that God calls gets an excellent training experience. Like I said, Jesus promised to build His church and nothing is going to stop Him. We are so grateful for the opportunity that God has given to Charleston Church. For in 2019, we become one church in two locations. We will gather for worship right here in Charleston, and we're going to gather with another congregation in Sullivan. So we're Charleston Church, Charleston, Maine, and Charleston Church down east. We believe a revival is going to take place. We believe that every community in the state of Maine deserves a Spirit-filled, soul-winning church. We're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to reach the orphans in Haiti. Orphans are really close to the heart of God. This coming year, we'll give out over 83,000 meals. We'll continue to see the work that we started this past year go forward. We're going to build a building that is large enough for 500 people to gather for worship, and it will be a feeding center. Together, we are able to support and make the kingdom grow through the doors that God has opened up for us. Thank you so much for partnering with us. 2019 is going to be the greatest year of ministry we've ever had.
Project 19 is an incredible way for us to take what we feel like maybe that as a person we don't have a lot of reach and influence, but when you partner with us and Project 19, you're reaching all over the world. And what you have, God is going to multiply, and we're going to see people changed all over the world, from Alaska, Haiti, India, and everything in close to here. And it's incredible. Even this morning, Pastor Ward is not away on vacation or away to another state. He's in our church, except he's down east. So he's preaching at Charleston Church, just not here. Isn't that awesome? We are expanding, and every time you connect with us, praise God, yeah, praise God. And every time you connect with us through Project 19, you're helping the kingdom of God expand. So why don't you go ahead and prayerfully consider how you want to partner with us. You can see on here, there's a $10, $20, $30, or $50 a week option. Also other amounts. This is just a card. Obviously, there's no credit card information. This isn't, you put it in, it's not going to come out. This is your pledge. And when you pledge to do this, you can give online. You can set up an account online with us. If you already have one online with us, you can go into it and update it and add Project 19 Giving and set it up there. If you want to give, obviously, in service with a check or cash, you can do that as well. Obviously, with Project 19, we'd love for you to mark what it's for so we know where to put it, because any cash that comes into the offering goes directly to the fund, the regular fund. All right? So prayerfully consider. We're going to be doing this for the next couple weeks. So consider, if you know what you want to do, you can fill it out right now and put it in the offering bucket when it comes by. But if you still want to take some time to pray about it, the Lord will bless you with the $50 option. I promise you, that will be amazing. Ha, 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 ha. It's okay. Don't get all stiff on me. I'm just kidding. It was just a joke. Some of you may want to give more than $50 a week. We know that. That's why the other exists. And we know some of you have to give a little bit less. So don't even worry about that. Just give what you can, and the Lord will bless you. But I challenge you to give sacrificially, because he'll bless you abundantly if you do that. I'm going to ask the ushers to come down and get ready to give. I know there's not a lot of time if you wanted to fill one out. But if you wanted to fill one out and you don't get an opportunity to put it in today, you can give it to the office at the end of the service. Wow, what a day. What a day. I tell you, God is a good God, and he's a God who loves when we give to his kingdom. And I believe that when we sow into his kingdom, we reap harvests for ourselves, not only blessings for the kingdom, but also blessings for ourselves. So how many would you say as a testimony, without having to go into anything deep and long, that you are a recipient of God's financial blessing as you gave? How many would say, that's me? That's me. And if you've never been there, go keep your hands up. If you've never been there, just look at the hands and realize God is no respecter of persons. And when you do the same thing and you connect to God's covenant with tithing and you give gifts, offerings to the Lord, he will bless you. He will not leave you out. He will not say, well, I just wanted their money and I'm not going to give them anything back. No, the Lord will honor you because that's what he said he would. And God is no liar. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much. So much for the good things you've done for this church. We're grateful, Lord, that we're expanding not only to Haiti and to India and to Alaska and all these other places, but Lord, we're starting to pick off towns in Maine and going to see them change in the coming years. We thank you for our friends and our brothers and sisters down in Charleston Church down east, down there in Sullivan. I pray they have an incredible meeting with the Lord. God, the same spirit that's here is there. The same leadership that's here is there. They're our family. And I pray, God, you'll bless them and bless Pastor as he preaches. Lord, I pray that the gift and the giver alike will be blessed as they give today. Lord, I pray that we'll exceed expectations in Project 19 and exceed expectations in this church. Because we know, Lord, when we do, you will exceed expectations in our own lives. So we thank you, Lord, and I pray you'll bless us abundantly in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Dalton Dunphy, after you have given, why don't you come on up and get ready to do some basic foundations. I got this, y'all.
The ones that are going to be receiving a diploma would please come up. I would appreciate it. And there we come. Isn't it exciting what God is doing in this country church? It's exciting. It really is. You know, I call it my other life. When I was in the business world, I used to travel a whole lot, saw a lot of things, but there's nothing that excites me like the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so important in this church that you realize that we don't just have a lot of people, but lives are being changed. And I've had the opportunity for a long time to be involved in passing out diplomas and involved in the classes of... You're coming up, aren't you, Nick? Come on up. I've had the privilege of being involved in what we call the basic foundation classes. Now, these are for new Christians, brand new Christians, or relatively new Christians, and many of them, when we graduate them, we introduce them to you, because many times you would not ever know these people, because for many reasons. But this first couple is Joel and April, and we love them so much. And if you'd come up front here, I say that I just love this guy. I say he's like a big, lovable hugger, teddy bear. He's just a friendly guy. He really is. And he came to us a while back and really dedicated his life to Jesus. And I'd like to ask you, Joel, and also April, what has this church meant to your life?
You want to go first?
No.
No? Sure?
I think you're first, Joel.
Okay. Can everybody hear me? This is a little loud. Well, most people don't think church is whatever, but there's genuine, no fake people that I've met here. If you need help, when I first went to Barbara, Dalton calls me and he's like, I already know who you are. Like, I've never talked to him. When I introduce myself to people, they're like, I know who you are. I'm like, how? We haven't even talked. So, and to me, that means a lot. Because a church this size, everyone has their cliques. Everybody sits the same, especially when you watch everybody. Like, Mr. Bailey always sits over here. Wayne always sits over there. And Dalton sits over there. Then you got the pastors, and Josh is up front, and Alan. So you pay attention to where everybody sits. So you can lose the avenue of not knowing who's sitting next to you and what they're going through. So it might not be the same, and your life might think, oh, well, I got my own issues, so why deal with other people's? But this church is not like that. And that means a lot to me.
I love that. What are these classes meant to you, Joel?
These classes are awesome, honestly. It seems like the teachers are handpicked for a reason. Each class that we had was the class that I personally needed that week. And Kelly Day did a great job organizing everything, if she is here. All right. But yeah, and the people were great. The classes were fun. And if you have not taken these classes, you need to take these classes, regardless of the process of where you're at, of your walk. If you're brand new, been doing this for 100 years, like, it makes you reconnect with people that you probably already know, but you haven't talked to in like 50 minutes or so. You know, like, this might be the only time that you see these people, it's every Sunday. So, but if you take these classes, you get to see them during the week, not just our first Wednesday.
How has Jesus changed your life?
We don't have enough time for that. I'll give you the trailer, I guess. Before I met my wife, or I've known my wife for like 30 years, so fourth grade, so it's been a while. But once we reconnected, before that, I would consider myself a very much a hot mess, like angry, disconnected from the world, not really care about other people, I guess, like turn into that loner. But she invited me to come. Why not? Because I got nothing. Even before, I had nothing against going to church because I drive truck over the road, and occasionally the only radio station you get is a Christian radio station, because for some reason, doesn't matter if you're in like a backwoods or on a major highway, you're always getting one. So, and then on Sunday, you always hear a guy preach or whatever, so instead of flicking through it, just listen to it. So we came, then stuff started clicking, and that's where we got introduced. I used to be a smoker. I don't smoke no more. I used to be a drinker. I don't drink no more. I can't remember the last time I cussed somebody out or just cussed, period. I can't, my adult videos, I haven't watched them in like 3 years, ever since we got married, right? And this is not bragging, but it was a big collection, all right? And but one day, April's like, you need to throw them away. Okay. It got thrown away. Like, there was no hesitation. So, and here we are now.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, this guy is real. And I love it. I love it. And the reason that we do this is we want you to understand that, you know, people ask me all the time, these new Christians, do they really change? I tell you, they do. And I have the opportunity of working with them.
Can I say one more thing?
You can say anything you want. He wants to say one more thing. And it's thrilling. It's thrilling for all of us. Go ahead.
All right. Sorry. But about a month ago, I got tired of listening to stuff on the radio, like sports and stuff. So I went to Paul and Matt about listening. So in 1 week, I listened to Ted Shuttlesworth for like hours, and like three times I've listened. But there was a book called Rescue that really, stuck. And the book is about this big, massive church, sort of like this, but bigger. Like, you can take a mega church that started at like 15 people, and now they had like 6,000. Well, they were on a retreat or whatever. 20 of the people, plus the senior pastor, got stuck underneath a sub from a boat crash. Well, they all passed away. But the stuff that really stuck was, towards the end of the book, everyone goes to the white throne. Everyone stands on their own, gets judged. So two of these people were like prominent people of the church. For example, don't take offense, Dennis, but it was somebody that rolls like Dennis in the church. It's like he does stuff, like proper people. And then there's a lady that was part of the church that was in charge of the nursing. So the senior pastor was standing next to an angel that was in part of the, like, Pastor Apostle John was in the book of Revelation. No one could see him, but he could see what was going on. Well, he thought these people were Christians, like, their whole lives. Well, they weren't in the book because of what, regardless of, basically what I'm getting at is get yourself straight. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor, pastor's wife, Mr. Duffy. If your name's not in the book, you're not going. It's plain and simple. And you can fake it. You can act genuine. People are going to think that you're great. But you need to get right. If you're not right, if you've never done it, you need to do it. Because it doesn't really matter. And so, and I get to the point because the senior pastor, his name was not in the book. And this is the pastor of a church that is large. And he even's like, well, I've been doing this for 30 years. And he got divorced, for whatever reason. But he flaunted his divorce in front of his congregation. He never repented it. And that's why his name was never in the book. So he got the opportunity to experience the lake of fire. Well, then he got saved out of the lake of fire. If that's, if you think that's possible, it is. Just so he could live for, again, just enough to talk to his church and start this big movement, because he couldn't, the other pastor that was sort of like Paul's title, couldn't remember when he did an altar call. And this is a church of like 6,000 people. We do altar calls every Sunday, every first Wednesday. So all I got to say is get yourself straight. Because you never know, you go out that parking lot, it could be just until the next intersection. And it's not very far. It's probably less than a quarter mile. So just get yourself straight.
We didn't ask for a sermon, but we got one. That's good. That's good.
It's this power of the stage.
That's, praise God. April, he took a lot of your time, but just to abbreviate what God is doing for you folks.
All right. Well, kind of what he's done for me, I love the classes so much that this is my second time through them. The first time I did them by myself, which I gained a lot. I gained a lot of friends. I gained a lot of knowledge about the Bible, like where to find the books and stuff, because I had no idea. This was back in 2012. And now, since I decided to recommit to Jesus and recommit to just serving him, I have started Faith Bible College, which is very weird, but it's definitely been a huge blessing in my life. I absolutely love the church. I love the school. Everything is just working out really well for me. I had a crusade going on, and I actually missed the last 3 days because I had a concussion. That was on October 20th, and here it is November, what, 2nd, 3rd? 4th. Sorry, I'm still a little. But they told me that I would not be feeling better until probably Christmas. I went to a church service at Faith. It was just kind of like a praying day, chapel. And I had so many people pray for me, and here I am. And I was like so light sensitive. I was so like sound sensitive that I didn't think that I would be here today. Like, I had it marked on the calendar that we were going to do this. And I'm like, oh my word, I can't. Like, especially these lights. but yeah, I'm here. And I just say that like these classes were absolutely amazing. I think they were a very integral part on why I ended up at Faith. Because just having the people say to me that, you know, we feel that this is going to happen. We sense this is going to happen. And then just the different lessons that we got, like Joel said, each week that we had a lesson, it was the week that we needed it. So I think definitely that was huge. That was just a great part.
God bless you. I remember when I first met April, she told me she had never opened a Bible. Never opened a Bible in her life. And now she's in Bible college. Praise God. Joel, there's your diploma. April, there's your diploma, there's your study Bible. Enjoy it together. God bless you.
We are.
This is Nick Williams. Most of you don't know Nick Williams. He works on Sundays, and he only gets out here usually on Sunday night. But he got today off, and here he is. We're graduating him. I know Nick pretty well, and he's a changed guy. So number one, how has this church helped you?
Thank you, Dalton. Short answer. Come from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Will that take like 5 seconds, Lindsay, before I mention Michigan? All right. Easily 50-plus churches I've been to. Didn't care. Didn't matter one bit. You're just going to appease everybody else. Make yourself feel better. I went to church. 2 years ago, I was introduced into this church. From the moment I stepped in, I've never felt so supported, loved, welcomed. It was comfortable, amazingly comfortable. And it led me to Christ. Every single challenge that was put in front of me, it's all gone away. I got Christ with me now. Amen.
How these lessons, how do these lessons help you?
Be here all day. At the end of this, we'll get through that completely. However, number one, it's taught me that none of us, understand the mystery of grace. Only that it meets us where we are at. Hold on there, champ.
I'm sorry.
Jumping the gun there, big man. And does not leave us where it found us. It's different for every person in the sanctuary. It's your turn, Dalton. Here you go.
I want you to tell them how your life has changed since you found Jesus.
We got that much time. You got it. In order to answer that question, I must tell you what my life was like before Christ.
This is important. Listen to this.
Grand Rapids, Michigan in the 80s. You grew up in this crack epidemic area. I mean, block after block. You had more challenges than you could count. At age 6, I was filled with anger. It consumed me for the majority of my life. Age 12, began drinking. My mother was an alcoholic. 2/5 a day. I began drinking like it was my occupation. From that age until the day after my darkest day, I was trying to demonstrate my worth through works rather than God. Attempting to get through service, scrolling through the Detroit Lions game, which was always disappointing, God used Pastor Ward to pull me out. Say, Nick, pay attention. This is when the sermon points matched up with the compass points of my life. Got that? How to pray, how to hear God over my own voice, how to talk to God, and most importantly, how to follow God. The day after my darkest day, I had my first real conversation with the Lord, where I was at the bottom of a well, and the light shined down from the direction of God. At this very moment, I was willing to sacrifice anything to strengthen my connection with the Lord. I gave up drinking that day. Haven't thought of it since. Not a drop. Not one drop. Which, mind you, I let destroy every relationship with anyone that loved me except Christ. It's a humbling moment. At this juncture, God blessed me with the strength to persevere through my struggles with drinking and anger. I'm blessed. You know how many people in this world have an addiction and they need a sponsor, they need AA meetings, they're constantly on tabs. They need their phone next to them. They need somebody else. I have my person. My sponsor is Jesus. Amen. Interesting enough, we're all touched in different ways, right? How he sponsored me was with discipline. I was inspired by Jesus Christ to demonstrate my discipline through a 3 miles a day for 30-day challenge. It's 90 miles, 30 days, no breaks. Going to the gym twice a day. Running right on Union Street. If it was 90 degrees out, well, it's just a hot day. Ran through temptation. The world was my trigger, and Christ was my safety. Amen. As I ran with God, discipline was the power of my body. Christ, the longevity of my discipline. And here I close with the three scriptures that guided me through my journey. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Trained. Not born with it, you're trained. Proverbs 12:1, my personal favorite. Straight to the point, no mincing of the words here. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction is stupid. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
That's what this church is all about, friends. There's your diploma, there's your study Bible, and we love you, and God bless you. You got a great future.
Thank you.
Amen. You can stand. Amen. How exciting to hear miracles that are happening in this house. Amen. I just want you to know that I hadn't seen these on the platform, and I came in this morning, and I'll be honest, I teared right up. This is amazing, and this is from you. I just wanted to tell you that this week we've kind of had the, you know, rip the tag off, and we've actually given out many already. And one of the teachers that doesn't come to this church let me know that the person that she gave it to in their class put the coat on and ripped a tag off and said, I haven't ever ripped a tag off before. I just want you to know that you're making a difference. I just want you to know you're making a difference. You're making a difference. And you just mess me up. Your love, you mess me up. And that's a good thing. So Pastor is in Sullivan this morning, and we're so excited. He hasn't been able to be there on a Sunday yet. So I'm telling you, he's going to come back just beyond on fire. So it's exciting. So today I want you to know that I've been praying this week for a word for you. I thought I had a word for you. And Wednesday, the Lord said, not that word. Let's get another word. And I thought, dear Jesus, it's like Wednesday, Jesus. And so I got a word for you today. God is good. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want you to turn to Mark 4, verse 35 through 40. Mark 4. I'm going to talk today about cross over to the other side. Cross over to the other side. Will you say that with me today? Cross over to the other side. Okay. I'm reading from a different version today than you probably have. I actually read like two versions at one time. I don't know. I just kind of like it. But I like to compare. So I have this one version, and then I read that, and then I read the other. And this is a new version for me. And maybe you read it, but it's TPT, and it's, man, it's good. So if you don't have this version, you can just read with me, okay? Later that day, after it grew dark, Jesus said to the disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. After they had sent the crowd away, they shoved off the shore with him. He had been teaching from the boat, and there were other boats that sailed with them. Suddenly, as they were crossing the lake, a furious tempest arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was all but swamped. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. I'm making you work for it today. So they shook him awake, saying, teacher, don't you even care that we are all about to die? Fully awake, He rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea, "Hush, calm down." All at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. Say perfectly calm with me. Then he turned to the disciples and said to them, "Why are you so afraid?" And this is the verse I want to touch today. "Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet?" Why are you so afraid? Haven't you, Charleston Church, learned to trust him yet? Haven't you been through enough to know that you can trust him, that he'll be faithful no matter where you are? Okay, let's ask the Lord. I want you to raise your hand today and ask the Lord to speak to you today. Speak to you today. God, I just thank you for every person that's here today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you touch every person. Let there not be one that leaves the same today. I pray, no matter if they're in a storm or they're not in a storm, that you speak to their boat today. I pray in the name of Jesus, every person in the house will be touched today, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you just to say, "Today's my day," and you may be seated. I think it's kind of funny that they're in this place. They've been ministering. The disciples have been watching Jesus ministering to person and to person and to person. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Let's cross over to the other side." And do you know sometimes when Jesus asks you to do something, it just doesn't make a lot of sense? No? Then you haven't been listening, because sometimes when Jesus says, "Darcy, do this," I'm thinking, really? So all of a sudden, he says to the disciples, "Let's get in the boat and cross over." I think that if they would have known what was coming, they would have said, "Jesus, we will wait right here and we'll meet you right here when you get back. I mean, we will stay here, Jesus." Because sometimes we go through a few things even if we're doing the will of God. We just go through a few things. I think that the disciples wouldn't have probably gone. I think that they're in the boat, and this is like one of my favorite parts of the story. And they are, all of a sudden, a storm starts, and Jesus is over there sleeping. And the storm is there. Water's getting in the boat, and they're panicking and trying to get the water out. And Jesus is sleeping. Like, sleeping. Like, he's in the boat, and he's, you guys need a little more coffee. This, I just said it like four times, and he's, oh, there we go. So all of a sudden, they're here, and they're in a storm, and the storm is getting in their boat. It's really different when you're watching somebody else go through a storm versus when you go through a storm. It's just a different thing. And they're watching the storm and they don't know what to do. And it was so bad that they actually thought that they were going to die. It wasn't just a little rainstorm. Have anybody here been in a storm? Like a storm. Like you've just been through it. They were in a storm. And you know how I know that Jesus doesn't snore? This is how I know. Because I won't say who, but every night I sleep with a snorer. Which is my husband, just to throw that out there. We still do believe, sleep with your husband. sorry. so much is going through my mind right now. So I know that Jesus didn't snore because the disciples didn't throw him over. Like, they kept him in the boat, and they didn't wake him up earlier. Because if you live with a snorer, you're continually saying, roll over. How many live with a snorer? Oh, dear Jesus. We need a deliverance service, because I am with you. It's tiring, isn't it? He's not here today, so I'll just tell you. Dear Jesus, sometimes that pillow looks really good to put right over his face. It's important, Darcy, stay in the spirit and not the flesh, let me tell you. So I'm sorry, that I should stick to my notes, as Paul said this morning. Stick to your notes. The storm was in their boat. If you've never been in a storm, it makes things look different. There's been times that I've been in storms, and I'll be honest, I don't see clearly when I'm in a storm sometimes. The disciples had been with Jesus 24/7. They knew him. They knew the miracles that he did, and yet, when they were in a storm, they panicked. If you're in a storm today, holler out to the one that can help you, and his name is Jesus. If you're in a storm, go to Jesus and say his name, and I can promise you he can change it. He can change it. He can turn it. He can calm it. He can speak. You can still speak to the storm. You can still do that with Jesus. Amen? Amen. There was one person that can change the storm, and he was in the boat. I just want you to know that if you've given your heart to Jesus, he is with you. I just want to remind you today, no matter what you face or where you are, Jesus is with you. What a reminder that he's right there and he still will speak to the storm. He still changes the storm. He still turns it. You know, there was a few weeks ago, right before the women's conference, one of the ladies that goes to this church that's here today, she had been through cancer treatment before she came here, actually. And right before the conference, she just went for a checkup. She'd already been through that storm. And she got a bad report that day. And I spoke to her, and we just said, we're going to believe. She said, I am standing on the word of God. I'm standing on it. It's hard when you see the water come in your boat. And she stood on the word of God, and we believed that that report would change. Do you know that God still can change a report? Some of you just need to know that God still does miracles. And we believed it, and she believed it. And she just got her report back that she is cancer-free. I am so thankful. I'm not against doctors, so don't get me wrong. I appreciate them. But I still know a God that you can stand on his word and he can change it. He can still say, peace, be still. He can still do it. He can change it. If you're in a storm today, he can change it. He can change it. I love that Jesus took the disciples across for one person. If you read this, he went across and ministered to somebody that was demon possessed. I'm not a person that goes in a room and looks for demons. There are some people like that. I don't need to be afraid of a demon. I'm just throwing that out there. If you're fearful, get into God's word. You have no reason to be fearful, because what's inside of me is way stronger than any demonic force. But I can tell you, Jesus still goes for the one. He took all of his disciples and said, let's cross over, because there was one man that needed something. He needed deliverance. That's why we do the Project 19 for the one. This is why we give the coats for the one. Now, Paul didn't know he was in the spirit, but Pastor asked us to pray over the coats this morning. I couldn't figure out where I was going to put that in, but I needed to do it, and Paul did it. The one is what matters. Let us get in the boat and cross for the one. Let us never be so busy that we don't see the one. There are people that you're going to see this week that I am not. And you need to be looking for the one. Because you can speak and you can change it. Help us to cross over for the one. Help us to cross over for the one. Help us to minister to the one. Help us to look for the Joels that say you can do anything if you ask Jesus to come in. Everything can be different. Help us to look for the one. Help Charleston Church to look for the one. Help us never to overlook the one. I never want to overlook the one. They crossed over for the one. He brought those disciples for that one man that needed help. And he got his help, Dakota. He got it. Just that one moment with Jesus changed that person's whole life and his whole future. That one moment. Give us that one moment, amen. How many want that moment with Jesus where it changes everything? It changes everything. If you continue reading a couple books later, say a couple books later, Peter is in the upper room and he's prophesying. He uses this, he tells this prophecy that Joel gave, and he says it to the disciples. Let me just read it real quick. You don't even need to put it up. Acts 2, 17 and 18, it says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit. I want you to say that. I will pour out my spirit on everybody and cause sons and daughters to prophesy. And your young men will see visions. And your old men will experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. There are three things that Peter tells about this. First is dreams. Let us be a church that dreams. Let us dream. Give us dreams. Give us dreams for different areas. If Pastor wouldn't have got that dream a few years ago, he wouldn't be in Sullivan today. And we wouldn't be talking about other areas. There was a dream that God gave him. It's important for Charleston Church to keep dreaming. You know, sometimes God will give different people dreams. I was kind of hoping Micah would be in Kids on the Move helping today, and he's not. So I publicly apologize before I tell this story. Macy was 8 months old, and Mariah was two and not even three, and we found out we were pregnant. Yeah. I wanted more children, hands down. I'd still take another one, but Pastor, no way. And you know it. Like, if somebody drops one off at my house, let me tell you, I'll keep it. Pastor, I don't know. I don't know, but it won't happen because he does not agree with this. So I found out I was pregnant. And you don't know this, but I was sick till 7.5 months. All stinking day. In my nice version. Like, you know what I mean, right? Like, okay. Just wanted to throw that. Sorry. I'm so sorry. That was so gross. I would be actually doing that if I was so sorry. So I wasn't really that excited at that point. And a lady in my husband had to tell the church that I was pregnant because I had to eat so I won't run to the bathroom. Because I literally would have to eat and it would be very awkward. The pastor's wife eating grapes and crackers all through church. Wouldn't that be awkward? Very awkward. Heather, you don't have any with you today? No? No. 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 No babies. I'm sorry. So he had to get up and say, you know, praise the Lord. Yes, Macy's only 8 months old, but we're having another baby. Because I'm eating. And he's like, don't ask her. She's eating. And that's why I don't talk about it for a little bit. Thank you. Amen. And after that service, that he announced it, and I dashed for the door because I just wasn't really in the mood. And a lady came over and said, I want to show you something that's in my Bible. And she opened, and I really was thinking, can you know I'm trying to get out. Can you just get me next Sunday? I'll be way more spiritual. And she said, let me open this up. And she opened it up, and she said, God gave me a dream. And she said, God gave me a dream, and she wrote it in her Bible the date that she had this dream. And she said, I had a dream that you were in bed, and you had a baby, and you were holding a blue blanket. And she said, God told me to tell you that day. She said, he told me to write. Now, if you don't believe in this, it's okay. You stay around the Spirit and you'll be drawn to the Spirit. So she actually said, the Lord told me to get up and say, Pastor and Darcy are going to have a baby boy. And just because it wasn't in their plans does not mean it wasn't in God's. God has created him for a purpose. I am telling you, it's so important that people in our church keep dreaming. Let God speak to you because somebody here needs it. Let God give you a dream and speak it out because somebody needs it. God gives dreams. Let me just tell you about a couple people that he gave dreams to in the Bible. He gave Noah a dream to build the ark. He gave Abraham a dream to be a father of great nation. He gave Joseph a dream to be a leader in the midst of chaos. Just because you're in chaos doesn't mean that his dream will not come to pass. God gave Caleb a dream to go to the promised land. He gave Nehemiah a dream to build a wall. He gave Paul a dream to walk on the water. That wasn't just put in there. That was from God. He gave Jochebed a dream to save her child. He gave Moses a dream to deliver the people. He gave David a dream to kill the giant. He gave Samson a dream. What are you dreaming? What are you dreaming? What are you dreaming? There's never a time that you shouldn't be dreaming. Give us a church that has dreams, not only for you, but for the next generation. Give us dreams. I pray that God will give us dreams. That he'll give us visions. Oh, that God will give us visions. Without a vision, the people, they perish. They don't make it. They don't make it. Give us a vision for what he has for us to do. I never, 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 I say I'm 29, you know I'm all lying, but I never want to get to the place that I don't have a vision. Caleb had a vision at an older age. What is your vision? God, help us to get a vision for what he has for us, because it's good. Give us a vision. Give Charleston Church a vision. Give us a vision. And the last one that he did, as Paul and Heather would come up, is that he prophesied. He said there would be prophecy. If you don't know how important prophecy is, it is so important. I do not take it for granted when God speaks. How many here would say that God has given you a word at one time or another? Can you raise your hand and keep it up there just for a minute? Wow. Let us keep prophesying. For months, I have been studying the prophetic word. Our whole Bible is full of prophecy. I am telling you that God is coming very soon. If you are not right, you need to get right. But we need the prophetic word in our church. If you're not living right, don't even bother. I don't want to hear it. I don't. But if you're living for God, let us prophesy. I was thinking, a while ago, Carl and Sheila told me about a time that they were over here at the altar, and a lady came behind them in this church, I don't even know who you were, and laid her hands on them and prophesied. She had no idea, no idea that that prophetic word God gave Carl 3 years prior. It was the same word to just say, hey, I got this. Let us prophesy. Let us use the word that's in us. The prophecy can change how it goes. It changes it. I think of different times in my life where a prophecy came. I remember years and years ago, I got a Steve Bean prophesied over me right over there. Who knew that God could speak to Steve Bean? I'm just kidding. To be honest, what he gave me, I thought, I don't think that is really that right. But thank you, Brother Steve. 2 years later, exactly what he said I was doing. God help us as a church to keep speaking over each other. Prophecy is there to discipline. It is. It's there to direct. And it's there to give vision. God, help us to use the word that will change it. That will change it. The word of God still can change a marriage. The word of God can still bring life in a dark place. The word of God can still change it. Let us walk in the spirit and not flesh. God, help Charleston Church to have dreams and visions and have the prophetic word. The prophetic word. Help us to still walk in the Spirit. I want a church of believers in the Spirit of God. You know, quite a few, probably a year ago, I was preaching and the Lord had showed me something about a gentleman. And I wanted to tell it because I knew the Lord gave it to me. So I kept looking for that opportunity because I knew that he was backsliding right in our church. He was a grandfather. There never is an age where you might not backslide, just to give you a little hint there. There's never an age where it's okay to just be in neutral. Never. And I wanted so bad to tell him, and the Lord kept saying, no, Darcy. No, Darcy, you pray for him. I actually shared it when I was preaching, and I said, somebody's here, and it's a man, and you are on the wrong road. Can I just tell you, a year later, he's on the right road? Can I just tell you that I saw him with his hands raised worshiping today? Oh God, help us to not be so used to Sunday and the Spirit of the Lord and the wonderful worship that we don't align ourselves with God. Sometimes my vehicle, it needs help, and Monty will help it. This place is supposed to help it. If you're out of sorts, if you're just having a hard time, let the Holy Spirit move you in the right place. Never let us get to the point where we don't listen and we don't turn. Help this church. You know, my brother was on a plane one time and he was sleeping, and a man came up to him and woke him up. Can you even imagine? Like, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. And my brother, like, opened his eyes, like, yes. And he said, I'm sorry to wake you up. I mean, yeah. And he said, God gave me a word for you. I didn't even know that American Airlines had people on there that knew God, but they do. Because I need it when I go on there. I need like tape right over my mouth. And God, that man woke him up and gave him that word. My brother didn't know him, never met him, and he just said, this is what God told me to tell you. And he told him, and he said, you can go back to sleep now. Well, he didn't go back to sleep because it's exactly what he needed. I am telling you, obey God. Obey him. Maybe there's something you need today. Obey him. Get on the boat and cross wherever he says to go. Get on the boat. Get on the boat. Stop doing it your way. It's not worth it. Like, eternity is forever. I want my children to see mom and dad always on the boat. I want my grandchildren to say, my whatever she calls me, grandma, that's not going to work for me, but we'll find something when that happens. I want her to say, this is how my whatever worships. I want that. I don't ever want them to say, will she be at church today? No. I want her to always, or him, maybe it will be a girl someday. I don't know. Wouldn't that be fun? I'm sorry, Mariah. She's not, so don't go and ask her. That will irritate her. Sorry, squirrel. Shh. I want her to always know that her grandparents are serving Jesus, that they never take a break. I want them to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lives in our hearts. If you will say, I will be determined to live for Jesus the rest of my time, I want you to stand right now. I want you to stand. I will be determined. I'm going to cross wherever Jesus tells me to cross, and I'm going to live for him. I want to pray over every one of you, so I want every one of you to come to the altar today. If you say, I am determined, I will live for Jesus, I want you to come. Balcony, I want you to come. I want to pray over you today. The Lord told me something directly to do today. I will serve the Lord. I will have a dream. I'll have visions. I'll serve him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just move up a little bit. Hallelujah. 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 Jeremy and Melissa, will you come on over here for a second? Come on over. I know you're trying to pretend it's not you, but it is. I'm going to serve him. I want you to come right here. Oh, Megan, did I say Melissa? Oh, dear Lord. No wonder you looked at me like that wasn't prophetic, just to give you a hint. There's no Megan. There's no Melissa. It's a Megan. I'm so sorry. How many of you have been through some difficult times? Will you raise your hand? You've been through some storms. They're kind of newer. But I know that you're in a storm. But I just wanted you to take a look. Raise your hand if you've been through a storm and God has been with you, and keep your hand up. I want you to look at me. God has helped them. I want Savannah and Justin to come down. I want them to pray over you right here. And I'm going to believe the Lord is going to help you. He'll help you. They're coming. They're a little slower. They're not as quick as Megan. The Lord's going to help you. In the name, can you just put your hands towards them today? In the name of Jesus, let them know that you're with them in the boat. That they're not alone, that you're going to help them in the name of Jesus. You let them know that you're with them and you're going to help them in the name of Jesus. You let them know that you're going to help them in the name of Jesus. Can you raise your hand and say, God, I'm going to go in the boat with you. I'm going to go wherever you tell me to go. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. I want to pray over this church right now. I want you to raise your hand. I know you're already down here, but I want you to raise your hand. Surrender to him. I pray in the name of Jesus that you touch every person that's here. And no matter if they're in a storm or wherever they are, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help them right where they're at. That you will show them that you're with them. That you'll show them that they're not alone. I pray in the name of Jesus for some storms to stop. I pray, God, that the waves will stop and that you'll help them. In the name of Jesus, I pray for peace. a supernatural peace. I pray for healing. I pray for help. I pray for strength in the name of Jesus, that that peace will be there. In the name of Jesus, that your healing will be there. In the name of Jesus. Oh, the Atanabababashandarabababasi. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you touch Randy, that you touch his body. In the name of Jesus, we know that you have work for them to do. And we thank you that you're with them in the storm and you're bringing calmness. In the name of Jesus, who here would say, I want dreams and I want visions from the Lord? I want to prophesy. I want those things. I want those things. I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray the Lord will give you some dreams. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, that we will be a church that dreams. Hallelujah, that you'll show us different areas that we can do things. I pray, God, that we'll be a people of vision. That we'll begin to prophesy and give words from the Lord. That we will walk with the Holy Spirit and the anointing. In the name of Jesus, give us dreams. Give us visions. Hallelujah. Give somebody here today a vision for their future. They do not think there is one, but there is one. I pray that old men or older men and older women will begin to be moved in this church and begin to be used in this church. I pray in the name of Jesus that that older generation will begin to raise their hand and be used in a mighty way. I pray for young men and young women that they'll begin to prophesy and be used in a different way. I pray, Holy Spirit, that this church will not even look the same. That the Spirit of the Lord will come in here and we'll just be different. I thank you, Jesus. I want you to raise your hand up and we're going to sing this together and just believe that God is going to use us in a new way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.